on the Viper 100.7. More music in the morning.
Fatty,
you are a bad mom.
Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. This is a best of?
It's a facsimile?
if you'll have it. These are the top five things that we got done on our morning show, which you can hear on Planet 93.9.
That's all true.
Thanks for downloading it, and I guess we'll just get right into it, yeah?
Yeah, with number one, you mean?
I like it, yes.
Number one.
Number one.
I've got people here who are wondering if interactions that they've had with other human beings make them look bad. Does this paint me in a bad light? Am I a jerk here? Mm-hmm. Three different stories of people who have had occasion to interact with somebody and they're wondering if they handled it correctly. More often than not, we've found, when we read from this subreddit, that people are not actually jerks, that the people that they're interacting with are the jerks. Although every once in a while, people do surprise you by sharing something and they actually are just horrible monster people. May I begin?
Begin.
Am I a jerk for not accommodating my roommate's medical needs?
I don't like the start of this.
I live in a house with two other people. Uh-huh. We are all 21. It's about 75 degrees outside, so our thermostat has been around 69 to 74, depending on the day. One of my roommates has been steadily increasing the temperature every day. I'd come home to it being at 78 degrees, then 80 degrees, then 85 degrees.
Wow.
Today, the thermostat was set to 90 degrees. When she set it to 80, I texted her and asked if she could keep the house at a comfortable temperature because it was getting really hot.
Uh-huh.
She didn't respond to my text. When she set it to 90, I asked her in person if she could please stop turning it up so high because our house was literally a sun at this point. She yelled at me and called me an inconsiderate bitch. And she said she had a medical condition that requires a warm house.
And what is that medical condition?
She's an iguana? I don't know.
And bring me some flies.
She'd never mentioned this before. Even when we talked about the thermostat temp when we all moved in, I told her setting it to 90 degrees on a 75 degree day is ridiculous and could potentially be dangerous.
Yeah.
She started mocking me, saying I just didn't want to sweat and that I was being too sensitive. We were arguing, and our third roommate got involved. He said he understands where I'm coming from, but our roommate has no obligation to tell us her medical issues, and we need to respect her needs. I feel like while she isn't obligated to tell us her medical information, if she truly needs to live in a 90-degree house, that's something that absolutely should have been discussed beforehand. And she shouldn't assume others are okay with it. Eventually, we agreed to keep the temp between 70 and 75, but things are really tense now.
Uh-huh.
My roommate hates me, and the other roommate thinks I'm being inconsiderate, and I feel like I'm going insane. So, am I a jerk for not accommodating my roommate's medical need for a hot house?
You're not, but you probably need to go somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
90 degrees?
This is not a thing. And also, If you're living with a bunch of people, I'm assuming these are like college kids, right?
Yeah.
If you're living with a bunch of people in the house and they need to be warmer, they can put on a long sleeve shirt.
That's true as well.
Get a sweater and put that on.
Winter coat if We're you not, need it.
Right? What are you doing? I have a medical condition. The house needs to be 90, and I'm not going to share with you what it is because how dare you ask me that.
I'm more iguana than human.
Right? Am I a jerk for giving my son's ex a reality check? I don't really know the full details, but my son broke up with his girlfriend for college due to the distance.
Uh-huh.
He didn't really show any emotions, but it was clear that he was a bit sad. I mean, yeah. I get it. They were together for 2 years, and she was a sweet girl.
Uh-huh.
I was also aware that they had planned on staying friends. Well, it's been a while since he left, and it's been pretty hard. He's having loads of fun, so I'm glad.
Yeah.
Anyways, yesterday, his ex-girlfriend knocked at our door. I let her in, and she just started bawling.
Oh, boy.
Obviously, I comforted her and asked if everything was okay, and she told me that she thinks that my son has found a new girl at college.
That's quite possible.
I already knew, because when my husband and I called him the day before, his dad made a joke about girls, and the way he acted seemed like maybe there was someone. I didn't know exactly what to say, so I just said I was sorry, but she kept crying. And told me about how she didn't think he'd move on that fast. And how he really doesn't even talk to her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She then showed me a picture of my son with the girl that he apparently likes. My husband was really uncomfortable and my son had some other friends over, so the situation was really weird. And again, what do I say to that? Well, I took her outside and I told her, look, I'm sorry, but maybe you should talk to your own mother or friends about this. She got really wide-eyed and said, you don't think what he's doing is wrong? I just sighed and said, listen, stuff happens and life goes on.
Yeah.
I got over it. You will, and you should as well. I thought I did pretty well considering the circumstances, but then she began to cry even louder. She called me terrible and said she expected me to be more understanding since I've known her as my son's girlfriend for 2 years. And if I can throw her away like this, then it's no wonder my son can as well.
Oh.
She was calling me a mean person before she got in her car and drove away. I didn't really expect that reaction, so I'm a bit surprised. I mean, I suppose I could have been more understanding, but I didn't want to give her any false hope. My husband, for his part, says he doesn't really care. He's just happy she left.
I think that's the attitude you gotta take.
But my sister thinks I'm stupid because that girl didn't come over to get a reality check. She just wanted some support. I didn't mean for my words to come off as a reality check, but maybe I came across as mean. So am I the jerk here?
I think you did fine.
Yeah, the husband's the star of that story.
I don't care. I'm just glad she's gone.
Glad she's out of her house. One more. Am I a jerk for calling the cops and sending them to the airport to retrieve my mother's jewelry set that my husband took to give his mom for her birthday?
What?
My husband is 33 years old, and he adores his mom. He's the only child in the family, and they're very close. He'd buy her expensive gifts for her birthday every year, but this year, he'd been stressing out about finding a proper gift for her because he's been unemployed for about 6 months now. He brought up the jewelry set that my mom gave me and asked if I was willing to give it away so he could use it as a gift for his mom's birthday.
What?
I said no, and I thought that that was a strange request. He pointed out how many other things I have.
You got some good stuff.
How many other things I have of mom, which is true, but the jewelry set was not something I was willing to give away, especially not to his mom. He got upset and pitched a fit and kept begging me to give it to him.
Please give it to me.
He said he could even afford to buy it off me, but he has no money. So...
I ain't got no money. And that roommate has turned up the heat.
I don't have no money. And besides, it's too hot in here.
Froggy
just basically...
owns the bit!
Just encapsulates the whole thing.
Oh, that's great.
What do you think, Froggy?
I don't have no money. And besides, it's too hot in here.
Right, thanks.
So this husband keeps begging, let me have that jewelry set that your mother gave you to give to my mom for a birthday. He keeps begging and begging and begging.
Yeah.
He then suddenly stopped bringing it up.
Because I already took it.
At the day of his trip to go visit his mom and attend her birthday.
You gotta be kidding.
After he left the house, I found a small note that he wrote, mentioning that he took that jewelry set with him. And telling me that I shouldn't panic or
don't panic.
Do anything stupid. And that we would talk about it when he got back.
Oh my God.
I was furious, but I felt helpless.
Yeah.
I thought I was never going to see the jewelry set again. I called his phone, but he had turned it off after he hung up on me.
Oh, God.
I called my older cousin who works at the local police station and told him what happened. He suggested I make a report so he could help me retrieve it.
Yeah.
He then sent police patrol to the airport where my husband was.
Yeah.
And he was taken in and his ticket was canceled.
Oh, God. What?
I got the jewelry set back,
and
he was eventually let go.
Yeah.
But when he got home, all hell broke loose.
Oh, God.
He started yelling at me and cussing out my cousin, saying that we were both horrible and out of line, and that I knew my cousin hates him and gave him an opportunity to humiliate him. He then yelled about how much he missed his mom's birthday and had this trip was ruined just because I, quote, hate his mom this much, end quote. I don't hate his mom, but I don't want my stuff given away on my behalf.
Wow.
He was livid to the point where he went to stay with his buddy for 2 days without answering any of my calls. I'm seriously having regrets about it, but what was I supposed to do after he took my jewelry set and had me thinking I would never see it again? Getting my cousin involved might also have worsened his relationship with my husband, because they were never on good terms to begin with. So, am I a jerk here for involving the police as a way to get the set back?
You need to get rid of this guy.
Right? Go live with your mother, you love her so much. Right?
Yeah, that's a problem.
You know, having been the unemployed husband, that's not the time to act like a jerk. You gotta
keep your head down.
You gotta keep your head
down. And hope they let you eat some of their food.
See what I'm saying? The last time I'd have an opinion or ask for anything
is not
was when I'm out of work, yeah. Man.
So, are we having dinner tonight?
Right?
Yeah. You think there'll be enough spaghetti for me?
Yeah. This is.
I don't have no money. Besides, it's too hot.
It's all of it's true.
Yeah.
Gosh, Froggy speaks for all of us.
Number two.
Of course, I've got a Florida story for you because.
Florida.
Because, of course.
Damn.
You know the problem with Floridians? I think I figured it out.
What's that?
They don't got no money and it's too hot down there.
Now that makes sense. I'm with you.
Finally, we've cracked the code.
I get it.
A domestic dispute over Chinese takeout food ends with criminal charges being filed against a Florida man and his daughter, both of whom are accused with battering a third family member. Investigators say that this took place Friday night at a residence in Wildwood, a central Florida city adjacent to the Villages retirement community.
The Villages!
The home is occupied by Bruce Shell, who's 51, his wife, and their daughter, Atlantis.
Okay, great.
Hail, Atlantis. People said that there would be a dispute over Chinese food. And oh, what fights they had.
Oh, you've learned your Juto well.
Succulent Chinese dinner. This is democracy manifest. There's also a son involved in this, and the cops identify the son as the victim of the Chinese takeout food-related battery.
Okay.
As detailed in the Wildwood Police Department arrest report, the Shell family had ordered Chinese food, but the takeout containers were not labeled. This greatly upset the dad.
You can't open it up and see what's what?
Because he did not know which container of food was his.
Why don't we just look?
Shell's son said that he argued with his father and sister over the Chinese food, quote, due to the fact that the victim had eaten his father's food unknowingly. The dispute then turned violent, the victim said, when his sister began punching him in the face.
How does that happen? Don't you know what you ordered?
I just saw Chinese food and I just started eating.
But you're capable of finishing a whole meal before they take a look at what their food is?
That's right. If I'm guilty of anything, it's being an efficient eater. Did you eat Daddy's Chinese food? You son of a... This is how it goes. Don't eat our daddy's food!
How did they even allow that to happen? They weren't going to eat at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's how that works.
I mean, I can see where someone's a quicker eater than somebody else, mm-hmm. but you ate the entire meal before they even started?
Before anyone even had a chance to react.
It's gone. It's already gone.
That succulent Chinese meal has been done. Completely devoured. Why did you eat our daddy's food? The dispute turns violent when the sister starts punching him in the face, and then Dad joins in the fracas, putting his son in a chokehold.
How about a chokehold? You like that idea?
Shell's wife told cops she was in her bedroom when she heard, quote, crashing and yelling in the kitchen area. When she entered the kitchen, the woman recalled she saw Atlantis' 25-year-old daughter pummeling the victim who was being choked by his dad.
Choke you out.
The battering only ended after the mom called 911 for help. The victim had visible red marks on the front side of his neck and fresh bruising and redness on his left eye. Neither defendant appeared to have any marks or bruises from the incident. Well, no. He was in a chokehold getting sucker punched by his sister.
And a belly full of MSG.
Going to be hungry for another beating in 45 minutes.
Is what you're going to have.
Both Shell and Atlantis were arrested for misdemeanor battery. The dad also charged with domestic battery by strangulation. That is a felony.
Ooh.
Each defendant bonded out of the Sumter County Jail early on Sunday morning. Yeah, that's what happens.
Cha.
Mm-hmm. They don't got no money, and it's too...
And this Chinese food is spicy hot.
I don't have no money, and besides, it's too hot in here.
I'm reading here from the affidavits the officer filled out.
You ate the peppers. You're supposed to pick the peppers, the really hot peppers. You're supposed to pick them out.
The victim stated that there was an argument between the defendant, co-defendant, and himself over the Chinese food due to the fact that the victim had eaten the defendant's food unknowingly. The victim also advised the co-defendant was upset with him because he told the witness that the co-defendant was intoxicated. At one point, the victim and co-defendant were in the kitchen, and the co-defendant attacked the victim. The victim stated he was punched in the face several times by the co-defendant. The victim advised the defendant heard the commotion and came into the kitchen and placed him in a chokehold. Wow. The co-defendant stated that the victim was in the kitchen mumbling. There's a lot to unpack with this family. All we wanted to do was have a nice Chinese
meal. Succulent Chinese meal.
This is Democracy Manifest. In where else but...
Florida.
I'm Dave, he's Darren, and this is Planet 93.9.
Number three.
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 There's a story out of Memphis, Tennessee. The headline really says it all. Half-naked woman... celebrating birthday, fires shots out of a car window. Now, when I say half-naked woman, do you imagine she's not wearing pants? Do you imagine she's not wearing a shirt? Or is she wearing pants and a shirt that are somehow split down the middle?
I tend to think she's not wearing pants because if she didn't have a top on, they would just say topless, right? Is that right?
Interesting. So you're a topless woman if you're not wearing a top. You're half naked if you're not wearing pants.
That would be my take.
Memphis police arrested this woman on Monday, who they say fired shots out of an open car window while half naked to celebrate her birthday. an officer driving southbound on South Danny Thomas Boulevard Monday afternoon said he saw a woman.
I am going to celebrate this birthday Danny Thomas style.
No, that's a very different way of celebrating your birthday, and it involves, well, I can't get into it. There was a... this cop's driving southbound on South Danny Thomas Boulevard. This must be where near where St. Jude Hospital is then, right?
Would make sense.
He saw the woman in a white Hyundai, a Hyundai Elantra, traveling northbound, pointing a black handgun out the passenger side of the window and fired two shots at an unknown object. The affidavit reads that the gun was discharged on the main roadway through downtown that is well populated with businesses and residential housing. After backup was called, officers arrested 23-year-old Kira Welch and located a Glock 17 on the car's passenger side floorboard. Police also found a clear plastic bag containing what appeared to be marijuana on the ground next to the passenger side door. It later tested positive. The next time someone offers you one of these jazz cigarettes, just ask yourself, do I want to end up half naked firing a gun out the window?
Maybe the answer is yes.
Welch told the cops that the weed belonged to her and said she was, quote, just turning up for her birthday. Now, it's a couple of things I want to point out here. This happened on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Her birthday is August 24th. So either she's bad at calendars.
Maybe it just dawned on her that she had a birthday.
Hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Am I 23 now? She told officers that she drank at least four alcoholic beverages. The police say she was clearly intoxicated. The affidavit also says she was halfway undressed and was smiling and laughing the entire time. Investigators discovered that the firearm belonged to the driver of the Hyundai Elantra, who is Welch's... Oh, no. It says here in the affidavit that he was her boyfriend.
He was my boyfriend!
Oh, no.
It writes itself.
Not again.
Look at what we've started.
Oh, no.
Surely not again. Surely not again.
Welch has been charged with possession of a handgun while intoxicated, reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon, and possession of marijuana. She was able to make bail on a $7,500 bond the very same day. She is scheduled to appear in court on September 27th, which, I'll have you know, is my birthday, and my plan is to stay fully clothed for the majority of it.
Now, yes. Topless or half naked?
Well, I don't know. I got some time to put my ensemble together. Could you pull off a shirt with just like one arm? You dig what I'm saying? So it's like your clothes are split down the middle. So I'd have on like a pant leg.
No.
And then half a shirt. That would be half naked. You're either pantsless or topless. Half naked, I don't quite understand. The problem I have with half naked is I don't know which half.
Oh, I think I know. You're going to go full Winnie the Pooh.
Just trying to celebrate my birthday.
Uh-huh.
Do whatever I want.
Number four.
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 I'm reading here an article about old-timey workout and diet fads.
Okay.
That were available, that you could buy, and people thought that it would work, and obviously
this sounds pretty good.
I think my favorite of the bunch is soap that when you use it, it melts away the fat.
Nice and easy.
Wash away pounds of fat, double chins, and years of age with Lamar Reducing Soap. It shrinks the skin as it dissolves the fat.
What? I don't know that I want that.
Price 50 cents a cake or three cakes for a dollar.
If it shrinks the skin, it's going to get kind of tight in here.
Yeah, the problem is that your skin's bigger. It's the underneath the skin that you got to worry about. Shrinks the skin as it dissolves the fat. The new discovery, Lamar Reducing Soap, brings quick and amazing results.
So,
no dieting, no exercising, nothing to take internally. Reduce any part of the body at will without affecting any other part. Lamar acts like magic on the double chin, big abdomen, ugly shapeless ankles, wrists and arms, large hips or breasts, or on superfluous fat on any part of the body or all over it. It is easy and pleasant to use and absolutely harmless. Cleansing, cooling, soothing, and effective, Lamar Reducing Soap is sent directly to you by mail, postpaid in a plain wrapper on a money-back guarantee. Price 50 cents a cake or 3 cakes for a dollar. 1 to 3 cakes usually accomplishes the purpose. Send your cash or money order today. You'll be surprised at the results. And then here's the advertisement. You can see this young lady is getting very svelte just by using soap.
So your body shrinks away,
mm-hmm.
just like the bar of soap.
Yeah, I guess that's the idea. I suppose that's what they're going for. I don't know. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want this in the shower because...
Where did Dave go? Where did Dave go? I'm right over here.
I fell down the drain.
I'm down
here. I used too much soap.
I can't even... The bar of soap is bigger than me now.
Careful not to wash your private parts.
Yeah.
Ugh,
I can't lift the soap.
I'm trapped.
And I've still got... I've got two full bars still.
I'm halfway through my first cake. And I'm pinned under
I'm
this
so
thing.
Tiny.
I'm at the mercy of this soap cake. How about Wonder Sauna Hot
I can't
Pan?
Climb out of the tub.
I'm hanging on for dear life.
I sleep in the soap dish.
This bathtub is like an Olympic-sized pool to me. Look how tidy I got, I tell you. I've reduced myself to Lilliputian proportions.
This damn soap, it's too effective.
It works too well. Wonder Sauna Hot Pants, something else that people purchase.
Put on some hot pants.
Did you ever buy a pair of these?
No.
These seem like the sort of thing you'd look good in.
Well, I wouldn't mind wearing them now. They don't, and just for fashion.
Health Watchers of America, look better, feel better, wake up your body with Wonder Sauna Hot Pants. Slenderize exactly where you want. One size fits all, easy to inflate, quickly reduces inches from your hips and thighs.
Doesn't it look like if you wore those, it'd be impossible to drown?
Yeah.
You would just bob in the river?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. They're just
big. For people that don't want to get their hair wet in the pool, put these on.
They also made a fortune back in the day on music that helped you to lose weight.
Ah.
Reduce through listening.
Huh.
By Edwin L. Barron, an easy new method helps you develop a dislike for fattening foods. Helps you reduce your caloric intake without the need for willpower. Play this record daily and watch your pounds melt away. God, I'd love to hear that. There's also something called the Mulby Revolving Hammock. Now, the Mulby Revolving Hammock is basically a hammock that you lie in face down.
Okay.
And it says it'll make your spine young. Stretch that spine with the Mulby Revolving Hammock. Bring back health and vitality. Have a full chest and a small waist. Live longer and enjoy life more. All the keen relish of a healthful existence comes to the man or woman whose spine is straight, strong, and supple, with no tension on the sympathetic nervous system, and with every spinal nerve relaxed.
Yeah, that person there is not enjoying anything.
This looks like, a torture device. But it's a hammock. I have a feeling that anyone who ordered this just used it as a regular hammock.
Well, it didn't work, but at least it's a hammock.
And then... finally, something called bile beans. These were beans that were supposed to be an easy weight loss option. You eat some of these beans. Honest to God, magic beans they would sell to people. Eat some of these magic beans, and before you know it, you'll be fit and trim and
everyone. And 100 feet tall.
Bile beans for perfect health and a lovely figure. Get your bile beans now. What in the world? It was a laxative and tonic first marketed in the 1890s.
Yeah, you won't be able to keep anything down.
The product contains substances extracted from a hitherto unknown vegetable source.
None of your business.
By a fictitious chemist known as Dr. Charles Ford.
They tell you that it's a fictitious chemist?
No. That was learned later. They didn't put that on the on the packaging. A made-up doctor made these beans. Bile beans were marketed as Charles Ford's Bile Beans for Biliousness. Bile beans promised to disperse unwanted fat and purify and enrich the blood. The manufacturer claimed the formula for bile beans was based on a vegetable source known only to the Aboriginal Australians. It was really just rhubarb, licorice, and menthol. That's great. They got in a lot of trouble in the early 1900s for fraud, as you can imagine.
Busted hard.
Yeah. It's a vegetable that only a very few people know about.
Don't even ask him about it.
Rhubarb, licorice, and menthol. Yes, this will do the trick. You'll be healthy, happy, and slim with medically approved bile beans.
And fresh breath.
Help, I'm trapped in the shower. That damn soap.
And I still got two fresh bars.
It's like Lily Tomlin in The Incredible Shrinking Woman. Oh, help me. I'm hanging on for dear life.
Five.
Number five.
I've got a road rage story that is unusual for a couple of different reasons, and I'm looking at some data here for road rage. The three worst states for road rage. Colorado is third worst. 14% of people in Colorado, when they were asked, said another driver has at some point exited their vehicle to shout or fight.
Actually got out of the vehicle.
I mean, it's one thing to flip someone a bird,
right,
or to angrily lay on your horn. I'm getting out of the car. But
actually getting out of the vehicle.
14% of Colorado residents say that that's happened. More than half of Coloradans surveyed said that they'd witness other drivers making rude or offensive gestures.
Sure.
So Colorado's number three on this list. Number two for states with the worst road rage is Missouri.
Yeah.
More than half of the respondents from Missouri say they've been cut off by another driver on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri drivers were the most likely to report that another driver pointed a gun or shot at them. You know that what? Number is 8%.
Good Lord.
8% of drivers in Missouri say at some point they've had a gun pointed or they've been shot at. And yet, Missouri, runner-up for road rage. So
and the winner is
the state with the worst occurrence of road rage. You're never going to believe it. Utah. Utah, on the metrics that they came up with here to determine where the worst road rage happens.
I believe it.
Utah scores 100 out of a possible 100 points. Drivers in Utah were the most likely to report another driver has angrily honked at them. 58% of respondents say they had received a rude or offensive gesture while driving. The worst state in the union for road rage is Utah.
I would think Idaho would be a nightmare, too.
Idaho is number tied for 24th place. Idaho's actually better than Iowa, but not as good as... worse. Idaho is worse than Iowa and Illinois. Okay, worse, because they're 24th. You don't want a top score here. So
Iowa and Illinois scores where in the top 50?
Well, this also I found fascinating. Iowa comes in number 28.
Okay.
Illinois comes in number 40.
Really?
Yes. They're just not as confident.
Even with Chicagoland.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, you don't really have time for, it's like, you got to drive.
Got places to be. Yeah. Well, maybe because of Chicago, maybe you don't make a gesture because you know that could end badly, you know? I'm going to be more careful when I'm driving in Missouri now that I know that 8% of people who are serving said they've had a gun pulled on them on the road.
And everyone in Chicago understands you got to drive somewhat aggressive.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right. That's another excellent
point. Otherwise, you're going to get swallowed up.
The road rage story in the news this morning is a guy who is the chief operations officer at Beyond Meat. Now, Beyond Meat is a company that makes plant-based meat substitutes, right?
Yes, and praised as one of the better ones.
I've had a couple Beyond Meat burgers, and I was fairly impressed, not only with how it tasted, but how it grilled up. You know, they kind of mimic the juices and the blood.
With beet juice.
Yeah, no, they're fine. But it's another one of those cases for me when I have a Beyond Meat burger, I think I should just really get a hamburger because it's cheaper. So the chief operations officer of Beyond Meat got arrested over the weekend. Apparently, it was after a... watching Powerball with my grandpa and
still has a one.
Got a road rage incident. Scared me half to death. Arrested Saturday night after biting a man's nose following a University of Arkansas football game.
That is not plant-based.
No.
A human nose?
Unless it's a snowman and you're biting his carrot nose.
Yeah, that
this is not good for the brand.
No, a human nose, that is animal.
This happened in a parking garage near Razorback Stadium after the Razorbacks beat Missouri State. Doug Ramsey, chief operations officer of Beyond Meat, was attempting to exit the parking garage in his vehicle when the driver of another vehicle inched his way ahead of Ramsey, and that vehicle made contact with one of the tires on Ramsey's vehicle.
Probably a nice vehicle.
Ramsey then punched through the other vehicle's back window.
What?
And got in an altercation with the other driver. He's like a Terminator.
He punched your window out?
And then he is going to climb in and bite your nose? Wow. Police say Ramsey threatened to kill the man. And that other drivers got out of their vehicles to separate the two. Ramsey allegedly pulled the other driver in close and started punching his body. He then bit the owner's nose, ripping the flesh on the tip of the nose.
Oh.
Charged with terroristic threatening and third-degree battery.
You're out of your mind.
This guy became the COO of Beyond Meat in December of last year after having previously worked for Tyson Foods poultry business since 1992.
Different game.
He became the president of Tyson's Foods McDonald's business in 2019. Human noses are not vegan. That's not okay. Has he been eating this Beyond Meat so long that he's just developed an insane craving?
It could be. God, I just want to eat something. With eyes.
Is there going to be a disclaimer on these things?
Like, something that has eyes.
If you eat too much Beyond Meat, you may develop a taste for human flesh.
I saw a road rage bumper sticker the other day.
Oh, okay.
That said, prevent road rage, get off my ass.
That's not bad. Would you say an aggressive driver? Is that something that you would say you are? You're not.
No, I would say no. I would.
let's.
I do what needs to be done. I mean, I have received speeding tickets.
Do you overtake other vehicles only on the left? Yes or no?
I mean, are there three lanes?
No. Let's say there's two lanes.
Yeah.
Someone's in the hammer lane. You ever pass someone that's in the hammer lane because they're going too slow? I absolutely did it this weekend.
I suppose if someone is going too slow, they typically aren't.
Do you overtake other vehicles only on the left? Yes or no?
For the most part, I suppose.
That's a no. Do you avoid blocking passing lanes?
I suppose I do.
Okay, I'll give you that one. Do you yield to faster traffic by moving to the right? You get out of the hammer lane if you're not in a hurry, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Would you say that you maintain appropriate following distance?
Yes.
Yeah, always do that. Do you provide appropriate distance when cutting in after passing vehicles?
I do what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you use headlights in cloudy, rainy, or low light conditions?
I use headlights most of the time.
Would you say that you yield to pedestrians?
No, I run them over.
Just let them try to get away. Do you come to a complete stop at stop signs?
Not always.
All right, I'll put down a no for that. Do you stop for red traffic lights?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Do you approach intersections and pedestrians at slow speeds?
Do I what?
Intersections and pedestrians. You slow down, right?
Yeah.
Of course you do. You follow the right-of-way rules at four-way stops?
Yeah.
Do you drive below the speed limit when conditions warrant?
Yes.
Do you drive at slower speeds in construction zones?
For the most part, yes.
Yeah, you have to.
Yes.
You maintain speed, appropriate conditions. Do you make eye contact and do you signal intention where needed?
Absolutely not.
Eye contact?
Eye contact.
Would you say you use your horn sparingly?
Yeah.
All right. You don't use your high beams when you don't need to?
No.
You make slow, deliberate U-turns?
Slow? I mean, if I'm going to make a U-turn, I'm going to make it pretty quick and get out of there.
Let me ask you this.
Go the other way.
If somebody flips you off,
yes.
Do you return the inappropriate gesture?
It depends if I think I can take them.
So that's a yes. Do you avoid challenging other drivers?
To what? Like a leg wrestling?
What, you want to fight about it? Do you get out of the way?
I've never got out of my car, no one's ever got out of their car to come after me.
Do you avoid driving when drowsy?
What's that?
When you're drowsy, you don't drive, right?
I don't care to, no.
You'd rather not. You would never park in a handicapped spot.
No, I wouldn't do that.
You avoid using your cell phone when you're driving. it says here, do you avoid stopping in the road to talk?
Yes, I don't do that. Who am I talking to in the middle of the road? Is someone granting wishes?
Well, I just tabulated this.
Yeah.
And
how'd I do?
You could be either a safe driver, a good driver, a semi-aggressive driver, or an aggressive driver. And your score is good driver.
Thank you.
So I'm not safe, but good. That's something.
I'm not comfortable calling you a safe driver.
Say what you want about my kids. They're safe drivers,
and they're clean.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's it for Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Thank you so much for downloading it, subscribing to it, listening to it, and leaving a review.
All of those things.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island,
come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
Quitting time, yabba-dabba-doo.
So long, Screwy. See you in St. Louis.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.